This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
What's up, everybody? Ricky Widmer here, along with Dave Oster, or should I say, who the fuck is this guy?
According to the you should probably kill yourself.
49ers.
Also known
as. That is a great comment. We've been getting some great comments on your 49ers.
I love the
video.
Fans. I love you guys. Bring more of that love to me.
Well, and we know that we get it enough here on the fast break.
Yeah, we do.
To see it all the way around, especially when they're outspoken as it is. And also, you might be wondering, hey, guys.
Mr. Sean Anderson?
Look what side of the table Ricky's on. Dave, it's back to us.
Yeah.
We're taking over the show again.
Sean, yet again.
He likes his music festivals.
Yep.
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was Pitchfork.
Now it's Lala.
Oh, gotta go to Lollapalooza. Oh, no. What do you do if you miss Lollapalooza, Dave? Me and Dave, though, we are loyal to the fast break.
We're holding down
following,
the fort.
And yeah, we'll hold down the fort while Sean's on here. We got a great show, guys, lined up for you. Of course, we're talking Kyrie's in the news. We can't skip Kyrie.
Of course not.
Got to talk Kyrie and the Cavs. Then we're going to look at Giannis. And can he win the MVP, Dave? Can he win it next year? We're going to look into it. Don't give you an answer
right
now.
Smart dodge of the last name.
Don't want to spoil it. Well, I got to practice it a little bit before we get to that part of the podcast. And then we got a fun one for you. You're going to be talking NBA 2K18 because Dave thinks the rookies, more so Fultz and Ball, you think they're overrated.
Overrated.
Think they're overrated. And we are going to get into that. But let's start right away with Kyrie Irving. And the big news, no news, like it's news, but it's not news, when it comes to the Kyrie Irving trade situation,
yep,
is that he came out and basically said, yeah, you can trade me to a team, but I'm not going to commit to him. I'm not going to sign a long-term deal. I'm still going to play out my contract and be a free agent when I'm a free agent in 2 years.
Yeah, it's an interesting move. I mean, he, like you said, it's still a two-year contract, but at the same time, he's like, you know, free agency thing, I think I'm going to get involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame him because, look, free agency is a great thing. In today's NBA, it's like it's choose your own adventure. Like, do you want to go ride the coattails of someone better than you and get it, you know, compete for a championship?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you're the man and, you know, doing that gives you a little more leverage over your organization? So I think it's kind of an interesting move, but same time, it really does kind of shoot the Cavs in the foot because now when they try to sell him to another team, it's like, yeah, you get him for 2 years and no guarantees after that. Like, fingers crossed, no tradesy backsies.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of, in all of this kind of trade discussion and basically everything that's going on with Kyrie, because there are outside things that are going on along with this.
Like, what else is going on?
There's also that, like, the wedding thing where Steph Curry was doing the dance like this to make fun of LeBron in that workout video. Who was right next to him at Harrison Barnes' wedding? Kyrie Irving. And right now, I kind of get this weird feeling that he's kind of putting the Cavs between a rock and a hard place to where it's like, well, we could bring you back because teams are not going to trade for you because exactly like you said, why would I want to trade for a guy and have to give up multiple picks, multiple assets,
potentially multiple,
just to get him on the team because that's what the Cavs are looking for. But also it puts him in that kind of hard place, rock place, because it's like, well, you know,
between a hard place and a rock.
You guys know what I was talking about. You guys know.
Hard place, right, rock place. Come on, guys.
But what I'm saying is it kind of puts him where it's like, okay, if we bring him back for the beginning of the year,
yeah,
things might be okay at the beginning. Like LeBron and Kyrie might come in as professionals, but then it's like, who knows what could go awry.
Say, but are they really?
A season.
I mean, from what we've seen already, Kyrie speaking publicly.
Professionals.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, can you trust the fact that he and LeBron will both be professional?
I would not.
Or do you expect there to be a blow-up if they're in the same building at the same time on the same team?
I would expect a blow-up just because I look at the team. First off, I put Kyrie as the number one blame. Everything that has been going on, he's been the most immature out of this whole situation. Of
he
course,
is the youngest.
Of course, you're sitting there going, well, Ricky, obviously you're not going to say LeBron because LeBron was blindsided by it. But even LeBron is like, hasn't been. Well, he probably knew that there was a rift coming between him and Kyrie. But the way Kyrie's kind of acted about it, it's like, so you want to go be the guy for someone else, but you don't want to commit to anybody. You don't want to. And I feel like there's kind of this. With Kyrie, there's no, like, I'm not going to give anything up for you. Where most trades we've seen where it's like, you see guys, well, okay, if I want this, I got to give up a little something. That's right. How negotiations work.
It's a give and take game.
I give, you give, and in the end, you try to be the one that gives the less.
But this is the NBA.
Or gives the least, I should say.
And the players have all the power. And that's the big difference.
Well, that's where all the star power is. It's with the players, not
exactly.
The teams.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, mm-hmm. The NBA is a different kind of beast when it comes to these deals. So, I just think it's kind of one of those interesting dynamics where Kyrie, by saying, I'm not going to commit, I don't want to play under LeBron James, and mm-hmm. and he recently spoke about, you know, wanting to be in a similar role as like Dame or John Wall, mm-hmm. where the team builds around him. And we watched that experiment try to unfold early on in his career. You know, he was drafted to the Cavs team. They went out, and the next year was Dion Waiters. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the awful, you know, Anthony Bennett draft. Mm-hmm. Tristan Thompson was picked up as well before that. But it's just like, look, they try to build around you. LeBron James came around. Sorry. I mean, it's great. We could build this young core or LeBron James championship instantly. So they went that route. I understand. But even early on, he and Dion Waiters clashed right off the bat. It was, no, this is my team. Nope. Dion says it's his team. Mm-hmm. So it's that thing where I'm like, maybe it's because he had like a tiny taste, but it didn't go right for him early on in his mm-hmm. career, that he's looking around being like, oh, the Wizards, you know, they've got three key guys who all came up through the draft together, all signed long term. You know, now they're locked in. Looks over at the Blazers, similar situation. So I kind of start to wonder, I'm like, is he just chasing after this fantasy and being like, I want me to be the face of a franchise. Mm-hmm. I want the guys to be built around me instead of, you know, being okay with being second fiddle to the GOAT. Well, I won't even say GOAT because I don't even believe that. But like, I just said this, the blood pressure rising out there.
You almost gave me a heart attack, Dave.
You know, a very good player.
I mean, come
right
on,
now.
LeBron's not even the best two-way player in the NBA, Dave.
Michael Jordan.
That's Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's
yep.
the best two-way
Michael Jordan
player.
Taking shots.
But I mean, I kind of look at this kind of in the same sense as you were saying, where I love how you use the word fantasy because. Yep. That's truly what it is. Being the guy and being the number one piece, that is truly a
more
fantasy.
Air quotes.
Well, I hate to say it, but I look at the Golden State Warriors, and they are possibly the only team right now in the NBA, besides maybe the Spurs. So the Spurs and the Warriors are the only two. The Warriors are more on the higher pedestal than the Spurs in this of... The Warriors, it doesn't like, yeah, we know Steph is the number one and probably the most popular player on that team. But on that team, you don't get the sense that like Klay is jealous of Steph because he's the most popular, or Draymond's jealous of Klay or jealous of Steph, or, you know, like when Durant won the MVP, you didn't get like, oh, Steph Curry is jealous of KD because Curry's the most popular on the team and technically the captain, and you know, Kevin Durant won the MVP. No, they're just happy for each other and happy being a team. And then it's the complete opposite with Cleveland, where it was clear that LeBron James is here. Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving is number two. And with Kyrie, it doesn't sit well. However, I kind of feel like you're being a hypocrite when you're like, you know what? I want to be the guy for a team. And then a team goes, yeah, we want to trade for you, but if you want to be the guy, sign on with us. And he goes, nah, I don't want to commit to anything.
I don't want to lock myself down to you.
I don't want to commit to anything. It's like, then how are you going to be the guy? No, you...
I think he's hoping that they're going to, in that two-year time period, is a show-me-you-want-me kind of a game, which, again, puts the organization in a bad place because now they have to prove to this player that we're committed to you, we're going to make more moves, which is a la LeBron. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to go out and get all the guys you want us to get. We're going to try to fill in that team around you. And I just feel like, again, we're putting an organization at a potential risk where if in 2 years he doesn't want to, if he's like, this isn't working out, I'm done. And then they've got a team of role players around Kyrie Irving. And what are you going to walk away with?
Kyrie will be traded. Like, there is no way he hits free agency at the end of his contract.
At the end of his contract, he probably will hit free agency.
No, but I'm saying he's going to be traded before he hits the end. Like, the Cavs, if it gets to a contract year and we get to the trade deadline of that contract year, there's no way that the Cavs, like, I don't want to say there's no way because obviously there is a way, but I think
that
it would 1%. Be completely idiotic of the Cavs to let Kyrie walk for nothing. Even if you are, like, in that year going, you know what?
Give me Victor Oladipo.
We're truly not winning. We're taking Sabonis and Oladipo for Kyrie. So basically you just trade Kyrie for Paul George. But I honestly think that this year a trade gets done. I don't know if that's before, like, you and me were talking before the podcast, and we jokingly, you jokingly said, man, I wish a Kyrie trade would just drop right now.
Seriously.
Just fall right into just our laps. I don't know if it happens in the offseason, though, because I wonder if it's kind of a situation like Melo, where Dan Gilbert and the Cavs probably think, you know what, let's have this blow over. Once they get into camp, it'll all be fine. Or they're thinking, well, LeBron is going to walk. Once LeBron is out of town, then it's Kyrie's team, and this won't be a problem because the main problem yeah. in LeBron won't be here anymore. He'll either be with the banana boat or in L.A. or somewhere that is
greener
not,
pastures.
That is not the Cavs. And yeah. I wonder if they can kind of convince Kyrie to stay. Because part of me feels like, yeah, Kyrie, you want to be the number one. But part of me gets an inkling where he doesn't want to play second fiddle to LeBron, yep. but he also doesn't want to be in Cleveland either.
Yeah, I almost feel like there's a lot of distrust in that ownership mm-hmm. because of, you know, Griff leaving. That doesn't help, first off. But
and
like,
how they treated the whole GM process.
Yep. And then, you know, the move over kids, LeBron's coming back to town.
Mm-hmm.
Get shoo-shoo, you know. You can help. But
Andrew Wiggins, you're gone because we got to bring in K Love now.
Exactly, and I mean
to
Kevin
appease
Love,
LeBron.
Kevin Love took a smaller role mm-hmm. On this team, and he has not been very vocal about it. He's been pretty professional, and
he actually poked fun at Kyrie when all this went down.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I remember that tweet about it. You know, it's
peculiar, Dave. It's peculiar.
It's a peculiar offseason. Yeah, I think it's just interesting that Kyrie has taken. I don't even want to say it's such an ego trip for mm-hmm. him to say this, but like it does feel like what is your priority when playing mm-hmm. the game of basketball? Are you there for the love of the game? Are you there for the money? Are you there to make yourself a bigger brand? Like mm-hmm. what is his goal? What motivates him? Because everybody has their own thing. Like
yeah.
everybody's going to say they love the game. I get it. Everybody does to an extent, but mm-hmm. like when you guys are ring chasing, you know, there's a different goal there than, you know, becoming your own guy and establishing yourself. Like mm-hmm. KD could have gone to the Nets for all I care. And been like, this is my city. I'm taking over Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Or he could have went home to the Wizards.
Could have went home to the Wizards. But then that would have been, you know,
you're
John Wall, Bradley
John
Beal.
Wall, yeah.
That's a little bit of extra. Mm-hmm. So it's more so the, like, you know, where do you want to go and what are you trying to prove with this move? And for mm-hmm. me, I think Kyrie is just so dead set on the idea that he has to prove he's not, you know, LeBron's shadow. Mm-hmm. He can actually accomplish something on his own. And I feel like that has just put, like, some weird chip on mm-hmm. his shoulder, like a cloud over his head all the time that, you know, I don't think there's a chance that they can hold on to him for 2 years or for the next year and hope when LeBron leaves that, you know, we'll be all like, yeah, we're good now, right? Mm-hmm. LeBron's gone. We totally like you. You know, we're going to build around you. And I don't think that's super likely. I think that just trying to hold on to him for that year is going to be hard.
What I would do is by the trade deadline at the latest this year, I would move Kyrie.
Yeah.
And at the least, what I would try to get, because I'm looking right now in an article where apparently the Suns have offered a deal where some of the main pieces are Eric Bledsoe, you get Dragan Bender.
Dragan Bender.
And then you also get, obviously, they'd throw picks at the Cleveland
first.
Cavaliers. The thing is, would it be just one first, or would Cleveland want more than that for a Kyrie?
I think Bledsoe,
because really they
Bender,
want Josh Jackson, but the Suns are saying
yeah.
no.
Jackson became a hard no for the Suns, mm-hmm. Which is interesting because again, it's a rookie who hasn't played, but mm-hmm. you know, some thought before the draft he was the number two overall player.
Yeah. Could have been the number one if Boston kept the pick. Apparently, early on, we were saying that.
Yeah, way early on. I think it's interesting that becomes like the linchpin for, you know, we were joking mm-hmm. around listening to Skip earlier today,
yeah,
and you know he's like, how is this guy holding you back from mm-hmm. getting Kyrie Irving? That would be a steal. And I'm like, but is it really? Like, Kyrie Irving, well, an excellent scorer in today's NBA. Point guard is one of the deepest positions in the NBA. We were talking about during our point mm-hmm. guard rankings, like 1 through 20, and you're happy. Like 20 point guard deep, and you're still mm-hmm. happy with a starting point guard. And even like the 20 to 25 range, you're still not upset. So it's one of those positions where the value, yes, it is depreciated because the quantity of good point guards out there is so high. And Josh Jackson, what he could be is something special because this is all about wings mm-hmm. and positionless NBA. So I think that, yes, well, the Suns are valuing him extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
They have every right to, but they're willing to give up Dragan Bender, a guy who, you know, one of the youngest players out of the draft last year, and he was hurt, but he looked promising in limited spurts. So it's not nothing. Eric Bledsoe, a top pick in, you know, that draft, mm-hmm. and then another another lottery pick, likely.
Plus, let's also be honest, Bender, the whole thing that'd be different from the Suns to the Cavs with him is that right now it's him and Chris.
Yep.
And they are the same draft class, same kind of starting
point.
They're
both top 10.
And it's like you're battling somebody that's on the same plane as you, where if he got to Cleveland and this trade went through, it would be, yes, I'm under K-Love. K-Love's not going to be here forever. I can just develop without having to worry, is it me or that
Plus
guy?
Plus, he can stretch out and be, you know, a outside five, mm-hmm. if they want to play it that way. They've mm-hmm. used K-Love that way as well. Yeah. So, I mean, the two of them together definitely mm-hmm. space out the four. That reminiscent of what LeBron wants to do with the ball. So I think that's actually not a terrible fit. I mean, a lot of this is kind of hoping on Bender, you know, continuing to develop and hoping that one injury his first year mm-hmm. hasn't totally, like, set him back. And we're not, like, all the hype kind of gets taken out of your sails after that first year. It's kind of like, you know, Stanley Johnson, Justice Winslow, all these guys mm-hmm. who we talked about, you know, when they came out.
That was so high on Justice Winslow.
When they came out, so it was high. Like, oh, these, and that's what I'm afraid, mm-hmm. like, you know, yeah, if you get injured, if you get that setback during mm-hmm. your first couple of years, like, how are you going to continue developing? How can you get over that hill? So mm-hmm. I think Bender still has a ton of value because he's so young. He's just going to be turning 20 in November.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this I feel like that deal on the table for the Cavs is probably as good as it's going to get. I have a feeling, like, as time goes on, this is going to be kind of like the Boogie thing where your value is only going down from here because the more Kyrie talks, the less you sort of want him almost.
It's kind of – and that's exactly what Boogie was where yeah. – the more he talked, it's like, I don't want that word cancer on my team.
Yeah, I know.
And to me, I look at it and I go, you have to do like this. Even if I got Bledsoe, Bender, and a first, I think I would take it right now only because, maybe not right now, only because I still feel, like I said, there's that part that's like, well, maybe they can work it out. However, eventually you're going to have to push that button because I look at your draft picks, and coming up, you have for 2018 a second-round draft pick.
Yeah.
You have a second-round draft pick, and that's all you have, and that's according to Real GM with the future picks. The next first you've got, it says actually the 2019. You gave that pick up to Atlanta. Right now, the only picks that are your own, pardon me, are the 2019 second-rounder
mm-hmm.
that you got from Minnesota or L.A., whichever is less favorable, and then 2020 second-rounder. Those are the only draft picks you've got.
They've got three second-rounders in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
That's where they're going to bring in talent and rebuild around Kyrie.
Exactly. I think you trade Kyrie because, let's be honest, you're not keeping LeBron.
Yep.
Even if you were able to blow the mind or blow the roof off the ceiling, they're the same thing, I get it. I'm trying to say, and get Melo to come in, play with LeBron. I think even if you did that, LeBron doesn't stay in Cleveland. I think LeBron is gone no matter what. Let's trade, try to get a first so that we can start. You'd get Bender, who's a young player. You get Bledsoe, who's a veteran who can play point guard for you.
He's not that old either.
I know.
He's still prime.
Obviously, it's a step down slightly from Kyrie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different role. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kyrie was your go-to shooter, mm-hmm. you know. Like, the dude could light up from outside. Bledsoe isn't a fantastic three-point shooter. I think he was, like, shooting, like, 34% last mm-hmm. year. So, again, it's just, like, it's a different role, but same time, Bledsoe also brings a physicality, mm-hmm. some defense, and a little bit of an all-around game where Kyrie just brings excellent scoring and amazing handles. So it's different roles, but same time, like, it's not necessarily net negative because, mm-hmm. again, you're reassuring your future. You have longer-term deals with Bledsoe, with Bender, and then that next first pick. So it's not terrible, but at that point, like, are you building around K-Love? Is K-Love mm-hmm. Is he the future for this Cavs team? Or is K-Love getting shipped too?
The only other team and deal that I've heard that I would like if I was a Cavs fan would be the Timberwolves to get Wiggins, Jeff Teague, and a pick.
Right, because that, of course, taking place in December.
December, because of Jeff Teague being signed. You get Teague, who can start at the one. You get Wiggins back, who can be your bright young star. And you get a first-round pick. That's the big thing. Get a young guy who can come in and start for you guys and be the future and get a first-round pick so that you can draft a guy to come in alongside him. Because part of me kind of feels like if the worst thing for Cleveland, best and worst thing that could have possibly happened for them was winning that championship. It was the best because you look at it and we finally won a championship.
3 years of finals in a row. You got a championship
the
out of it.
The Factory of Sadness finally has a championship. No. Thanks, Browns, for trying for so many years. But LeBron's got it. It was the worst, though, because I think that ring, as soon as it went on Kyrie's finger, went straight to the head. It went straight to his head.
He didn't make the
shot.
His
ego just exactly. His ego inflated like a balloon, Dave.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going up, rising like a balloon into the atmosphere. And I think Kyrie's starting to think, hey, you know what? I made the shot. I won us the finals. I can do it. When really all of us are saying, look at what you were before LeBron. You weren't getting to the finals.
The difference is, though, I mean, he was like 21, 22 before LeBron.
Think the last 3 years, take LeBron off this Cavs team, do they get to the finals? With just Kyrie and the team they have?
No. No, they don't. But still, he's 25 now. I mean, I think that he's a solid, he's a top 10 point guard. And I think that, like, in all honesty, I'd like to see him try to run his own team. And that's no offense to, you know, his role under LeBron. It's just more of a curiosity now for me because everybody is so heavily criticizing how it's LeBron's team. LeBron runs his team and you're a secondary. And yeah, and so if you put him on a team to be the guy, I'm kind of curious. I mean, and that's why I want to see the Suns thing. Like, Devin Booker is an amazing offensive talent. So you have two fantastic shooters on that team. Nobody's going to play defensive guard. Nobody cares. And then you've got a bunch of younger talent as well. So, like, coming in at 25, you're the guy on that Suns team. I legitimately want to see that happen. I want this trade to happen to the Suns, like, ASAP, so we can watch how this develops. But you're right. I don't know if it's going to go down, you know, in the next week. I hope it does. But, like, it just comes down to if Kyrie keeps opening his mouth, it ain't getting done anytime soon.
No, and that's the thing. And I think, like I said, for the Cavs, I think it needs to happen by this trade deadline, only because the thing I feel in my head, and I know this is going to, it's one of those things kind of like how Cowherd says, I don't know how this is quite going to land. This isn't a proclamation. This is just what I am thinking.
Right.
I think that the drama in Cleveland, if they go past the trade deadline, will be too much. And this year we will get a Warriors-Celtics finals. Meaning the Cavs won't go to the finals because the drama will be too much. And I know there's going to be people where that's going to hit and they're going to go, well, you still have Kyrie on the team. They're still better than Boston. But Boston added Gordon Hayward and they're a team right now that doesn't have this drama. And we don't know, like I said, what's going to happen. Is some body language thing going to happen between Kyrie, between LeBron this season? So that's where I think, I'll ask you one last time. Do you think it happens this year, season, he gets traded?
100% will happen this season. I think that, 99%.
What team?
I think it's the Suns. I think that offer, or a very similar offer, will finish it off. I with Carmelo saying, I'm not dropping my no-trade clause, I just think that kind of is the final thing, because if you can't get Melo over there, then you're taking best offer available, which has been overwhelmingly the Suns. I don't think the Timberwolves are looking to move Wiggins anymore after that five-year extension has been signed. So in my mind, it's down to the Suns or a crazy offer from, like, maybe the Bucks. Even then, that's an outlier, you know?
I mean, in the
or
only...
Detroit. Detroit could get... Or Miami. Okay, so there's some wild cards out there.
The Bulls would be the biggest wild card.
Zero chance.
Could you imagine?
Zero chance.
Just, we'll give you D-Wade and, like, maybe campaign, right?
In what world is that fair value?
And we'll give them picks too, right? Right, guys?
I mean,
guys,
we're giving them the number one overall pick this
guys,
year, right?
You're right.
Right? We're giving the rights to Michael Porter Jr. That's how this is going to be fair?
Do you think the Bulls are going to be the number one
pick? Are we that stupid?
We could.
We are.
We could be the first
Garpacks,
overall
pick. Garpacks, baby.
Garpacks. They got the plan, but this is where
somehow
you guys
Ricky has turned this into a Bulls talk.
You guys tell us down below, and I'm quickly getting off it. Down below, what do you guys think? Is Kyrie going to be traded this season? We're asking it again. And really, what team should any team and what team trade for Kyrie and what team will he be going to? Let us know down below in the comment section. But Dave, let's move on into our next topic. And this is one that we saw that was on YouTube on The Jump. And we thought, hey, why not talk about it? Because we love talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo. See, I didn't do the hard G. Yep. I didn't give you the Giannis. No, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
No Giannis here.
Had to do it twice because I learned how to say the name. Got to get your money's worth out of those practicing skills. See, now I can't say simple words like practicing skills with saying his name. But basically, we're answering the question of, Dave, next season, could Giannis Antetokounmpo win the 2018 MVP? What do you think?
It's going to take another jump. And to be fair, he has jumped every single year statistically, and he is a huge fan favorite. So I want to say there's definitely a chance for this. I think it's more likely that it'll be, you know, the following year, but that's purely because of the, you know, kind of downturn from Russell Westbrook we expect. I don't think he can put up another triple-double year with Paul George on his team. I mean, he'll be close-ish maybe, but still, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of change in this year, so give it one more year, and he'll probably be there. But, I mean, come on. Last year, he put up, 23 points a game, 8 boards, almost 9 boards a game, and 5.4 assists. So, he's a little bit everywhere. 2 blocks, 1.5 steal a game. Look, across the board, he's a phenomenal player. He gives you a little bit of everything. The biggest thing for him is it's always the, well, what if he develops that jump shot? What if he develops that 3-point shot? It's making him an even better offensive weapon. Turns him into horrifying because then he becomes something we haven't really seen before. Because right now, he's athletically a monster. He's got the length on everybody. He has really good quickness for his size. So I think just the physicality overall of him has exploded. And man, I want to say like, I'll give him a 30% chance.
I'm going to say a hard no.
Hard no.
A hard no. And the reason why, I'm going back right now, kind of backlogging all the way to the Dirk Nowitzki MVP. From the 2007 NBA MVP and looking at it, here's some of the things that I have in common. Last year was probably the only year this did not happen. However, I'm putting an asterisk next to last season because of what because of what he did with the triple-double and averaging it through the entire season, the breaking Oscar Robertson's record, you knew he was going to win it. You knew he was going to be the MVP.
I mean, some people voted against him still.
Some people did, but let's be honest. We knew as fans that it's like, no-brainer, Russ is going to be the MVP. But I look at everything else. 2016, Steph Curry. That Warriors team, first in the West. The year before that, Steph Curry, that Warriors team, first in the West. Then you look 2014 MVP. The Thunder, second in the West. Then let's go before that. LeBron in 13 and 12. In the 13 one, Miami Heat, best team in the East. The next year, the year before that, Miami Heat, second in the East. We go even before that. Derrick Rose in 2011, Bulls, top team in the Eastern Conference. That was also a very bad year, Dave. That was a bad one.
I know.
It was a great year, bad year. But then we got LeBron in 10 and 19. Cavs at the top of the conference in 10. Cavs in the top of the conference in 9. Go back to 8, which was Kobe Bryant. Lakers, number one team in the West. And then 2007 with Dirk, the Mavs were the top team in the Western Conference. So the way I'm looking at it is since 2007, nearly 10 MVPs. The real question is, are the Bucks going to be a top 2 seed in the East? The answer to that is no. Your second question is Giannis Antetokounmpo going to average a triple-double and break Russ's season? The answer to that is no. So by answering those two questions, you have the answer to this one. He's not going to be the MVP.
I completely disagree with the fact that you think he either has to average a triple-double or he has to be the number 2 team to win it. Like, just because it hasn't happened that way before doesn't mean it can't happen now. And I think that voting is changing. The way that players are being valued on their teams and his effect on this team. Look, he went up 6 points a game last year. 6 points a game jump. He could do that again. It could be crazy. He could put up 28 a game. I mean, why not? If he puts up 28, 10, and 6, are you really going to be like, nah, He's not good enough. 28-10-6 isn't good enough.
If you're the fourth, and especially
this
year,
with 2 blocks and an assist and a half,
especially this year, if you put up those numbers and you're fourth in the East, get out of here. You're not in the discussion.
This upcoming year,
yeah. because the East is going to be so weak. So it's going to be if you're
how the, does it matter if that if the East is weak?
If
does it matter that Russ just got absolutely stomped on by better teams in the West?
What I'm saying is if you're going to put up great numbers,
yeah.
but then you can't bring in a weaker, I'm looking at just the East now, in a weak East, probably the weakest Eastern Conference that we have seen in ever,
it's
basically.
It's lost some star power.
Let's put it this way. If you're the fourth best team in the East, because right now, let's be honest, the Cavs and Celtics are fighting it out for 1 and 2, and right now, based off of last year, it's the Wizards.
Yeah.
So maybe even, like, I expect the Bucks to sit around 4. They could even be the 5, depending on how
the Raptors do.
I do not see an MVP coming from a team that is less than top 2. Not even, maybe, like, top 3,
I say
you can
Russ
argue.
Got it?
Top 3, well, like I said, look at what Russ did.
Yeah.
The average, like, for the first time
30,
ever.
I say 30-10-10 versus 28-10-6.
So basically, he's going to have
three blocks.
He's
going to
have
two.
A historic season. That's the only way he wins the MVP.
I'm just saying, I don't expect the performances from this year to be repeated by Russ or Harden. So I think that individual stats from other guys, because they're all pairing up, is not going to go up. I think he's got a shot going forward of being a standout stud because the East is now primed for new all-stars, new guys to step in and fill that role of becoming a superstar. Giannis has the fan support in Milwaukee. He's exploded out nationally to like become one of the favorites. And I think right now it's like, in the East, we talked about it's LeBron James, it's John Wall, and I think it's Giannis. I think those are your three best players in the East. So I see no reason why he can't compete for it. I think, yeah, it's going to take another large step, but up to this point, he's not proven that he hasn't proven that he can't do that. Like, all he's done is get better over his career. If he can figure out how to shoot more than, you know, 30% from three, then he's dangerous. Then he's even more dangerous. If he can learn to get that jump shot down pat so he has a little bit more of that outside game, We're looking at something special here, Ricky. And that's the only argument
I mean,
I'm making.
The thing that, and I'm not going to say that he has a 0% chance. Obviously,
no, you said zero. You said there's no discussion here.
Okay.
Unless he has a triple double or they win the East, he is not even in contention.
I've got maybe, I'm going to say 4 people.
You're
going to
backtrack
now,
on me?
4 people that I have that could win the MVP. If you want me to give a top 5,
yeah,
I'll give
a
top 5.
Give it. I think we all
My number 1 is going to be LeBron James. It's always LeBron James. He's always.
You argued he should have been the MVP this year.
Yes. Should have been
wrong,
the MVP.
You're wrong, but you argued it.
Because of his stat line with the 5-5 and
well,
then shooting over 40% from the field.
Russell, I'm sorry. Guess who else did that? Giannis. Yeah, Giannis did that with 22. Almost 9, 5.5, and he shot, let's check it out, 52%.
LeBron's team was also, and I'm falling back to it, and you're going to say, well, Ricky, it's a crutch. No, but it's true. LeBron's team was also the best team in the East.
With 2 other All-Stars on his team.
That's not the case, though. We're not looking at an MVP going, who else is on his team?
Well, I mean, we did.
Steph
Curry.
Like, when we look at an MVP, especially
who's been an MVP on a garbage team?
Just think of the
out of that list.
Garbage team?
Yeah. Give me one where there wasn't another all-star on the team.
I mean, just looking back from what we had, the Warriors obviously had
Clay and Dre.
They have Clay and Dre. Durant had Westbrook.
Yep.
We had LeBron in Miami, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
The
no help there.
Derrick Rose, when he won it, had Joakim?
Joe at that time was good, but not a defensive player of the year, you know,
and
that
I mean,
he became.
Luol Deng was pretty good for that
Luol
Bulls
Deng
team.
Luol Deng was good, yeah.
I mean, you look at LeBron when he was on the Cavaliers, then Kobe's Lakers, Dirk and the Mavericks, probably maybe Dirk and the Mavericks, and then maybe the 2 Steve Nash years.
Steve Nash arguably shouldn't have won those anyway.
Yeah, well, it wasn't one of them. Should have been Shaq.
Should have been Shaq.
Yeah, should have been Shaq. So maybe since 2005 and 2006.
We got one guy.
And before that, it was Kevin Durant on the Timberwolves.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not that, you know, we're saying that one guy can't win. I'm just saying, look, if he can put up those numbers without amazing supporting cast, and yeah, Jabari Parker coming back from that injury could be really good again. I have high expectations for him, but I am still certainly concerned. But this is a Bucks team that has been just getting better under Giannis, and I think I think he's just the focal point. And because you're pushing that position, it's like our earlier talks about Lonzo Ball. Why do we have him as rookie of the year? Because look, the Lakers are going to use him in every possible way. They're going to get the most out of him, and he's going to run everything offensively for them. it's the same way with this Bucks team. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to run a lot of this game through Giannis, and it's been super successful. And I think it'll even get better if he can continue to grow his shot. Like, that's why I'm like confused. I'm like, he'll put up the right numbers just because you're saying, you know, maybe not a top two team, maybe not a top three mm-hmm. team in the East, but he could still be a phenomenal transcendent player for that one season. I think it's worth a stab. I think he has a higher percent the longer he plays. I'm not saying next year is his best chance. I'm just saying he's got a chance.
I'm even looking at this. I mean, I went back even further. So yep. The two Steve Nash years,
absolutely.
The 06 MVP, the Suns were the second best team in the West mm-hmm. with 54 mm-hmm. wins. The 05 year, they were the best team in the West. The Kevin Garnett year, the T-Wolves were the best team in the West. Then the 03 and the 02, which were both Tim Duncan. And I know the Spurs, you could say, had a team around him as well. But also, the best team in the West one year, second best behind the Kings. That was the one where the Kings should have went to the finals if the refs called a fair game. But still, a top two team. And then in 01, Allen Iverson, his 76ers, best team in the East. So, I mean, that's the big thing. I hate to keep bringing it up because I know what you're saying. And I think Russ kind of proved it this year.
You don't have to be a winner to be the best player.
But you have to. But also LeBron James proved, because you came out with a great point, that Giannis did the same thing LeBron did. And I was advocating for LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron did with more points. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like Giannis can mm-hmm. do very similar number or mm-hmm. stat lines to LeBron, except even better defensively. So that's where my thing is, like,
and that's the reason why, like, you brought up, yeah, voting is changing, and I think a lot of voters are going to take in mind the East, and they're going to say, wait a second, you did this, you're great and all, but you couldn't even be the third best team in the East.
I think you got to look at the East, and you still respect. Do you not respect the Cavaliers?
The Cavaliers, do you not respect the Celtics? They're the only two.
Really, the Wizards? You're giving no credit to the fact that John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter together?
The Wizards will probably be the third best team this year, lose to either the Cavs or the Celtics.
Yeah.
And that's
they're still
how it's
going to be. Very good team.
It's also, though, if you are the MVP, you should be able to bring your team and make it better. Should be able to make it better.
Kind of like somebody did last year?
Yeah, like Russell Westbrook.
And where'd he finish?
He finished, what, they finished sixth overall in the West, I want to say.
Yeah, not so great.
That, like I'm saying, the West year, I'm not saying it's totally 0%. There's some chance that Giannis can win the MVP. Me, personally, I don't see it because I look at, you could say the Bucks team, look around them. Yeah, they have pieces, but is it enough to transcend Giannis into Giannis into the pantheon and into the top three in the East? I just don't think so. And I think that is going to hold him back from winning the MVP, because we're going to look at teams like if the Cavaliers win the East, LeBron James will be obviously in the front running. Let's be honest. LeBron James could sit out games and he won't be in the front running. You could look at the Celtics and, I mean, Gordon Hayward could maybe be in the running for an MVP.
Goose egg. I will call it right now,
the
goose
Celtics.
Egg.
Maybe we look 0% at John chance. Wall. Maybe John Wall's in the running for the MVP. Or look at the entire West. The West could break it this year. Russ could be back at it.
Yep.
James Harden could be back at it. You look at Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. They could be back at it as well. I feel like Giannis, there's too many people that are going to not necessarily like have better stat lines overall.
Yep.
Obviously, like I said, last year, no one was beating Russ's stat line with the triple doubles.
Absolutely.
But I think looking into it, voters are going to say, you know what? Last year was almost an anomaly to me of like, no one's going to average a triple double this year. Obviously, Russ, I don't think so, because now he's got PG with him, and that's going to take, well, maybe he can average a triple-double. He'll have less shots.
Scoring's not the problem with Russ. He won't have a 30
rebounds.
Point.
Rebounds is the thing that I'm worried about with him going into this season.
Well, it depends
on
what kind of a scheme they run. I mean, if they run it where they want the point guard to rebound to get the offense moving quicker, that's still an option for them to do. But I do think Paul George will soak some boards for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely the hardest part for him to get, so fair enough.
James Harden's the interesting one in this conversation, because you mentioned earlier, I don't see James Harden having the same season.
Yeah, because Chris Paul.
It's going to be interesting how Chris Paul plays into it, because Chris Paul could make James Harden better to where he doesn't have to.
I think Chris Paul and James Harden are both going to average 10 assists a game.
No, I think that...
Then it's not
happening. I think Chris Paul is going to average the more assists.
Yeah.
And it's going to be feeding James Harden,
yeah,
which is only going to help his numbers.
Guard.
Yeah. And obviously you look at Steph and Durant, the only thing that you look at from this past year, was this year Russ being so good, or was it Durant and Curry being on the same team and them kind of taking away stats from each other?
They definitely did. And you can look at just the pure shot attempts of Curry and Durant this year and see why. But at the same time, they were more efficient. But guess what? NBA has become a much more efficient league, but it's not always rewarded by awards.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, Giannis is going to stuff that stat line. Like, he can do a little bit of everything, and if he develops that shot, he's the scariest player in the NBA. The thing is like you said, is he going to be able to take this team with Brogdon, Middleton, Parker, and Thon and really take them to that next level? Can they overtake the Wizards for the 3 seed or the Raptors? I mean, I don't want to discredit the Raptors totally. I just don't see them being able to jump over that hill.
Yeah.
Could happen, though. So I don't want to rule it out. I think that as time goes on, he'll have a better chance. I think he hasn't hit his peak yet. I think that 2018, 2019, like, it will only go up from here.
Here's the thing I want to put out there. The question was, was he going to win an MVP in 2018?
Yep.
My answer to that, like I've been saying, is no. He's got a shot to win an MVP in his career. Like, if you asked me, could Giannis win an MVP before he retires, I'd say yes. Because as he gets older, and obviously LeBron's not going to be here for much longer, the whole Warrior thing, we'll see if we put them, if they can keep it together.
5 years ago today, I mean, look at the state of the NBA versus now. Like, you can say, oh, the NBA, there's no competition, this is all garbage. Like, 5 years ago, we were talking about entirely different NBA. This Warriors team didn't even exist in the state they're in. We're talking about the Heat are dominant. We're talking about the Thunder being, you know, oh my God, they're set for championship contender for the next like half decade. Like, come on. And then just split a thing. And Spurs
are just there. Let's put it this way. Just this upcoming year to next year, just the 2018-19, I think he has a better chance of being the 2019 MVP than he does being the 28
MVP.
That's
what I've been saying.
Only because the Cavaliers, if you lose LeBron, you trade Kyrie, whoop, you're falling down.
But the East gets worse then.
You're falling down. But honestly, if you're a top two team in the East, that's what I feel like. Like, people are going to look at, if you're top two in the East and have the numbers to back it up, people will go, yeah, sure, MVP vote. But after you start falling, like, three, they might look at it and go, well, okay, maybe. Anything after three, I think voters will look at it.
Just
like,
saying.
Voters will look at it. But do you see Giannis putting up numbers anywhere near a... And part of that was the kind of... I'll call it the record hype.
Yeah.
Of if... Take the Oscar Robertson situation out of it. And we're not talking
say
about
he
that.
Say he goes 39 and 10.
Yeah.
But oh, my God.
But he still gets the... or I'd even say the... Let's say he averages a triple-double on the season, but he doesn't. We don't talk about the Oscar Robertson thing.
And
he doesn't get the record. I think then if we're not having that hype around it, it's like, well, you know what? How good of a season is Russ?
It's incredible still.
Exactly. Like, it was a great season.
I feel like I have to, like, drill this in. People said, like, why are we acting like a triple-double is good?
No. I'm not making that debate. I'm just saying the Oscar Robert, like, the chasing, the whole chasing. Because even look at baseball. Back in the day when we were, like, 6, 7, 8 years old, the great race between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa to see who can hit and
more
who can
dingers.
Break the record fast enough. Everyone bought into it. You watched Cub and you watched Cardinal games, especially when they played each other, just to see what was going to happen.
And then Barry Bonds and shit on them both.
Yeah, Barry Bonds. But I'll still remember, and this is sidetracked, but I'll bring it up anyways, Mark McGwire doing it against the Cubs, doing it against Sammy Sosa, being the first one. And then Sammy did it, and then Mark McGuire finished ahead of him. But that's what I think with Russ. But because he was chasing that triple-double, kind of helped the mystique of that season. Not saying he didn't have a good season, Dave. The triple-double is fine. It's good.
Gets me fired up when people disrespect the triple-double.
Don't have to blow a gasket on the triple-double. There was just a mystique to that, and that's why I put the asterisk.
Definitely
next
got
to,
the ESPN hype. It got a lot of the general media talking. I will not disagree to that.
And this is where I want to get what you guys have to say, because Dave and I have talked enough on the MVP. What do you guys think? Could Giannis Antetokounmpo
had to say it one more time?
I practice, guys. Could he be the MVP this upcoming season? And give us why. Do you buy into the has to be a top two team in the conference? Do you think he can do it while being the fourth team in the East? That's the one I want to hear from those people the most, because I don't think he could do that. Let us know what you guys think, though, down below in the comment section. But Dave, let's move into our last topic. And this was one that we usually don't talk about this stuff here on the Fast Break.
Well, not on the Fast Break.
Usually it's like, hey, video games, let's save that for the Rick and Johnny podcast. But because it's Johnny, we can't talk about Madden, we can't talk about 2K, we can't talk about any sports game, because Johnny, sports, that's all he knows.
He's sports ball. Yep.
And we're talking NBA 2K today, and the reason why is Dave was going through an article before we were recording, and he's like, Ricky, you got to get a load of this. This is complete BS. Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball are ranked 80s in NBA 2K18. Before I give my opinion, Dave, rant a little bit. Why are you so upset that Fultz and Ball are rated 80s in NBA 2K18?
Sure. So 2K18, what I want to start off here with is the fact that all of these ratings seem a tad bit out of reality, just a touch out of reality. And understand, you know, every player is great. Everybody is, you know, a fantastic player in their own right. But that doesn't mean that every player is, you know, a 75 and up. Like, in my right mind, there's a big difference between LeBron James and the bottom of this league. I understand that, yeah, we're only using, like, from 60 ups. Like, and 60 ups don't even make teams. 60 ups are, like, the kids who get no names.
There's
and,
a few 50s.
Well, yeah, okay, so there's some
in free 50. Agency.
But that's the point, is like, you in the NBA, you know, in the older games, it was like, oh, you know, from 70 to 79, those are the guys who are going to fill out your bench and, you know, maybe young stars developing. And then the 80 pluses were all stars. And, you know, really, and they stood out pretty heavily. And now we're just tossing out to a rookie before he plays a game, an 80 day one, hasn't played a game, and he's getting an 80. And that just kind of bugs me, because I turn around and I look, and I'm like, yeah, but I'm seeing D'Angelo Russell. You're giving him an 80? I mean, I'm not trying to overhype D'Angelo Russell, but I'm trying to say, like, at the same point, we're saying the guy who's been in the league for a couple years performed pretty well, and now is going to take off a little bit with this Brooklyn team. Same level as these two rooks who haven't played a game. I just feel like the rating is just a little high. It's out of touch, because what LeBron James is like 105, 106 now? Like, how are we
going to do this? I
think
he'd be the only player that I'd put at a perfect 100.
I mean, he was a 99 in like 2K14 or 13, and he was broken. Like, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Durant in this
Kevin
year
Durant
is supposed to be 96.
96, Steph is 94, Paul George 91, Cat 91. Cat 91 is scary. Cat 91 doesn't play defense. So, like, that's all offense. Like,
but the NBA
like,
don't play defense.
Yeah, they do.
Overall, the NBA doesn't play defense. There are a few players that excel at defense.
Yeah, but he's like
Kawhi being one
literally
of the best
the
two-way player in the game.
Thanks,
Michael. Got to throw that out.
Thanks, Michael Jordan.
Second time in the podcast. Got to throw that out.
But like, I'm just saying, like, it seems very top heavy. And another one, like, if we're putting Joel Embiid and Devin Booker 86s, one guy who has played 30 games in 3 years, as Sean loves to remind me, and the other one who has, you know, a very good offensive player with zero ability to play defense at this point, zero proven ability to play defense. Like, we're putting them at 86s right now. 80? Are you kidding me? 86? Is that about 86? Is like a first team, second team, third team All NBA. Are you telling me the difference between Kyrie Irving and 90 and Devin Booker 86? We're saying 4 point difference between Kyrie Irving and Devin Booker. Are you crazy? Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills here. Paul George is a 91.
I'm gonna speak some logic to you, because right now
there is no logic. Well, this whole system
is
bullshit.
No. There is logic, and the reason being is right now all I've heard is if I were to describe you, Dave, you're a basketball purist, meaning you love the game, you love watching the game, you look at the ins, you look at the outs, everything that you were explaining says that to me. The thing that you didn't say, and this is where I am coming from, and this is a broad base, first off on the rookies, just because that's what this is about, I don't have a problem with them being 80s right now.
Seriously.
Only because of, you saw, I get it was Summer League, I get it. However, you saw what Lonzo was able to do in the Summer League. You also see the hype between him and Fultz coming into this year. And usually with these opening ratings, they're usually a little higher. And the reason being is they do the kind of throughout the season, like they modify the rankings based on how people are playing. And like, okay, we need to modify this, modify that. And I do like the fact that
they do keep up to date with that.
They got to sell games though, Dave. How do you sell games? You overrate everybody. You have everyone in the top end because now some kid in Brooklyn can sit there and go, D'Angelo Russell's an 80. I want to buy this game. You think that L.A., like, there are people in L.A. that would buy 2K18, but you don't think they're going to sell more copies now just because Lonzo's an 80? And all those people in L.A. that are Laker fans because they flipped their Clipper jersey inside out, not all of you, just some of you, flipping that Clipper jersey inside out, are not going to want to go and play with the new rook of Lonzo Ball. And look at Philly. Heaven, the 80 of Markel Fultz and now
what 86 you, what, for Embiid and Ben Simmons will be somewhere in between.
And you get to
play. So you got like three all-stars on the team already.
You get to play with that team and try but to bring like them to a championship. This is like
Timberwolves bad last year. Do you remember the Timberwolves last year were like the third best team in 2K?
I had them as the 8 seed, I think.
But no, in 2K they were like the third best team.
Yeah.
Like ratings wise.
Wasn't it Kat that tweeted something about it?
It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay, I understand from your point of over it, everybody, we sell more games. But, like, I just feel like that kind of, it ruins the fun because there is a much larger gap between these players than, you know, a couple digits will answer to. And that's the thing that I get caught up on. I'm like, we're saying that Paul George is, you know, 5 points better than a guy in his second year. Like, really? Really? Paul George and Devin Booker are that close? I'm sure that everybody in the world sees it that way. Mm-hmm. No, this is crazy. And that's what kills me is, like, look, I love the hype for rookies, but you got to have them earn something. Start them off at like 75, 78 tops. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm only asking for a couple points off the top end.
So kind of like what Madden does.
I don't think you can start them above, like 75 even for me, I think is ideal. Like,
I'm trying to think in Madden.
I think everything needs to shift down.
Has there been a rookie that was like an 80 in Madden? Was it like, I don't even know if Jameis and Marcus were 80s. But here's the thing, and I want to say this. I told you before the segment that, I don't need my laptop for this.
Yeah.
And I closed it, and obviously something popped into my head, and I'm like, fuck, I should probably have my laptop open. But here's the thing, and I am right now looking at, I'm trying to look for NBA Live ratings. And if these are anywhere to be kind of said for anything, the ones that I have here, and take this with a grain of salt because I don't know how great this source is in 2kmtcentral.com, the forum section, but Steph Curry 94, Klay Thompson 90, Kevin Durant 94, Draymond Green 90, Thabo 78, J.R. Smith 79,
Thabo Sefolosha 78,
Kevin Love 87, Tristan Thompson 83, Kyrie Irving, 93, LeBron, 94. So LeBron, Steph, and KD are all on the same level at 94, apparently.
I still think that's just, it just seems super overrated. Like, the whole thing, like, I just think, A, the balance in the game has got to change a little bit, and that's more of a 2K problem, but, like, even, like, you play the NHL games, right?
I used to, yeah.
Tell me in those games, how high were they? Like, it was a pretty big spread, and 70s were actually valuable players. I mean, in 2K, now 70s are trash.
Well, 70s were, then the thing with hockey that was different was usually, unless it was a franchise that I was able to whittle my way through trades and get the first three lines at all 80s, most of my 70 guys were fourth liners.
Wow.
It was mostly because I think of the Hawks teams that I had.
No, but I mean, like, you start on a team that is, you know, an average team in the league. Mm-hmm. Now tell me how many 70s are in your starting into your second lap.
Probably maybe if, depending on the team.
To start a team, yep.
If it's third, fourth line, and maybe some of the second, if it's a really bad team.
Yeah.
If it's like a really bad team, you got a ton of 70s on that team. Maybe like one or two 90s. Maybe your goalie and someone, one of your forwards is a 90. Mm-hmm. But that's if you're starting like bottom of the league and you have to, you want to build somebody up. And the thing with the NBA games that I think of is, I mean, I kind of want to say, do ratings even matter?
Yes.
Only because, I mean, the NBA games, and this is the reason why mm-hmm. I kind of stopped playing them, it was the fact that it was so easy for me to take a bad team and in a year trade and just get every fucking first round pick that I could so that I get the first five picks in the draft. Boom, I've got my starting lineup and I eventually win like five titles.
Because rookies are, they always mm-hmm. overrate the rookies going into that game. And that's what I hate.
Like all I need to do is grab LeBron. Like it was really like a maybe 75-25, whether I'm grabbing LeBron or not grabbing LeBron, because there was a 25 chance. Yep. He's like, I want to play for the Suns. And you're like, I'm the Lakers. You don't want to play for the Lakers. You want to play for the Suns.
There's some game logic that's wrong there. But mm-hmm. I mean, it just, in my mind, it's kind of hilarious because it comes down to like, okay, so let's take a look at the second year players mm-hmm. and the third year players and the fourth year players from where they dropped off from their rookie mm-hmm. year, where they were up here. And then like, oh, Justice Winslow.
Look at what you said in the past.
KP, down.
Past one that you played, I think, was 16.
Yeah.
How you were able to take Greg Oden off a free agency and make him like a upper 70s, low 80s player?
Oh, no. He would go straight to like 84. Okay. I think Greg Oden by default within two years would be an 84, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's just like
the guy with no knees.
Yeah, the man who doesn't deserve to be on a basketball mm-hmm. court. But it's just kind of stupid the way that some of the stuff is written up, because take a look at the rookies from 2K15. Where mm-hmm. were they in 16? Where are they in 17?
Mm-hmm.
They vastly overrate all these rookies. And I get it. It's a lot of hype going into the season. Yeah, they tweak it throughout now, but it still just seems like a cash grab almost in my mm-hmm. mind. Like, this is just... I don't want to be devalued because I'm clearly hyped up about this game.
It's clearly a cash grab. I can't wait to play 2K18.
I seriously can't wait to play the game, but still, it's just
like you were just telling me, like, I can't wait to stream this.
Oh, we are. We're going to stream some 2K for you guys.
And... now you're saying,
but
it's
I'm
cash
frustrated
grab.
at what they're doing, because mm-hmm. it hurts the, I don't want to say like the purity of the game, and that's stupid because
that's
it's a video
are.
Game.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I've hit that point of like I'm an old man.
But
now.
At the end, it's a video game.
It's
Dave.
A video game. I shouldn't be that upset about a couple mm-hmm. a couple ratings points. But I feel like it's a slap in the face to experienced players like Dwight Howard's an 81.
Mm-hmm.
You can put Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball at 80, and Dwight Howard at 81.
Well, I mean.
Dwight
he's
Howard's
older.
Still a double-double machine.
Yeah, but he's old. And 81's not bad.
Give the man some respect.
No,
I mean, that's what Kobe Bryant was before he retired. He was still an upper 80s.
No one's saying 81 is bad.
We're putting rookies who haven't played a game there, we're saying
and
80
that's
is
what,
bad.
And that's what the point of the argument is. You're not upset that, like, a Dwight's at 81.
No, I'm upset.
You're upset that Ball and Fultz are
at
80.
We've moved the bottom up, mm-hmm. and that's my problem, because I feel like there's a lot of players who should be in their 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so, but I feel like we're just like, no, the bottom line just keeps getting higher and higher and higher. Everybody's amazing. Is that what we're going to tell each other? Like, is this the everyone gets a participation trophy? You're all great players. That's mm-hmm. what I feel like. Honestly, it just kind of is like, this is stupid. Like you said, because you can just spin a team around in a year with rookies.
And the thing that I'm looking at right now, and hopefully this EA article brings me to it, the game that I would compare it to is Madden. I know it's a different sport. I know got tons of them, but... here are some of the rookies coming into Madden and how they can compare to a 2K. Myles Garrett, 83. You got O.J. Howard, 82. Leonard Fournette, 81. Jamal Adams, 81. Christian McCaffrey, 81. Those are the top five
That's crazy.
Rookies rated in Madden. With the honorable mentions, Dalvin Cook, who is a second rounder, is an 80. Dalvin Cook, who is a second rounder, is 1 point off of Christian McCaffrey and 1 point off of Leonard Fournette, who are both top 10 picks in the draft. Also, John Ross, who ran the 4.22 in the 40, he is ranked at a... oh, is it not going to tell me? Is it not going to tell me? It's not going to tell me his rating.
Right.
It doesn't have it, but it mentions his name. But like,
but I mean, like
even
Anthony
look at
Davis
some of
came in, 78. LeBron mm-hmm. James, 78.
Yeah.
Like, 78 should have been the top end, and I feel like mm-hmm. even that is like still really high. It feels to me that, we're moving up the bottom end just to make people happy.
Well,
and that makes me angry because it's a slap in the face to the experienced players in the NBA.
It's not moving.
It's not realistic.
Well, it's
I'm not asking.
It's not realistic.
I know.
But the thing that, let's be honest, and the reason why I think, like, even like in the Madden ratings, why mm-hmm. the rookies, some of these are so high, is because I look at it and I go, when I buy a Madden game, what's the first thing I do with my franchise? Who's my favorite rookie? Can yep. I trade for him?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Who's my favorite rookie? Can I get him on this team?
And I'm going to do it in basketball.
Who can I trade? Let's be honest. I would usually pick the Bears just so, because the game weirdly valued Jay Cutler as a quarterback. So I could trade Jay Cutler for almost any rookie I want. I had to put in picks too, so I had to give up some firsts to get this rookie.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. Like, trading Jay Cutler in a first for the rookie I like in a fourth, I'd take it all day.
Andre Drummond was an 89 in 2K16. Mm-hmm. Dragic was a 78 mm-hmm. in 17. A 78. I mean, it's just, it's. I'm so hung up on this. And I understand it's a game. Yeah. This is a fun conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm never. I'm not gonna get over it.
I just
it.
Don't see the I don't see the problem.
I hope they balance it quickly because.
Well, I mean, it's. I look at it and I go, it's really. I know you want to see the balance because you're like, you know what? I want to see it like the NBA, but do you really want to? Do you want to see it to where the East is basically a crapshoot? Or would you rather have them rated a little higher and in 2K, my Eastern Conference, although it has less star power, the records and stuff are fairly similar to the Western Conference. Yeah, you might get some of the teams in the Western Conference are closer together.
Yeah.
But the records in the East are better. So it's not like one side is vastly just overweighing the
other. I'm just saying, if AD couldn't get an 80, and he was mm-hmm. like one of the most hyped prospects, like that I can remember at least in our time before LeBron James. Like after LeBron, it was Anthony Davis. He was mm-hmm. he was the next biggest thing because of, you know, his skill set. And he didn't even get an 80. So like, how are we just now, like, yeah, point guards, 80s, yeah, we'll just throw mm-hmm. them out. Like, you want an 80, you get an 80. Ricky, yeah. if you were in 2K18, what would you be? Would you be
I'd
a 79?
I'd be a 65.
I think you'd be a 79.
I think I'd be a 65.
I think
65.
You're this close to Lonzo Ball.
I don't think, don't put me in the same ballpark as Lonzo Ball.
I mean, you got the Isaiah Thomas hype game going for you?
I do.
Who's to say?
I think I'm, about 3 or 4 inches off from Russell Wilson as well?
Yeah.
Wilson and Drew Brees?
Yep.
Is that 3 inches? Are they 5'11", 5'10"? 5'11" is Russell Wilson.
Let's tell themselves they're 6 foot.
Yeah, I'm about 3 inches. I'm a 3 inches off of Russell Wilson if I wanted to go play quarterback in the NFL. Yeah. But I mean,
I'm just saying, make him earn it. I don't care if after a month.
Old man Dave, you got to earn it.
You
in
do.
This league.
Get off my lawn. After a month, you can update them from a 77 to an 80.
Go back if they're dominating. Okay, go back 4 years. You're now 23.
Yep.
Would you be upset as you are now?
No. I didn't pay as much attention to basketball. I enjoyed basketball, mm-hmm. but now that it's become part of my job to love and do analysis on this game, like, the little things do bug me a lot more. And I'm gonna get a lot of hilarious comments because I'm mm-hmm. taking this way too seriously. But it's just one of those things where it's like, you could give Anthony Bennett an 80 because he was the number one pick.
No, I give him a 0 because he's a bust.
No. By 2K logic, he would get an 80.
What would Darko be?
Probably a 78, 79.
But you got to give him a 5-point boost because he got a ring before LeBron.
That's true. So at the end of that rookie year.
Like a great friend of ours once said, Dave, some would say Darko Milicic is the best player from that draft class because he was the first one to get a ring.
It's a bold statement.
First one to get a ring from that draft class.
It's a bold statement.
I mean, yeah, I just look at it. I mean, a few things. First off, you got to sell games. And how do you sell games? You have players who are highly rated. I know people are going to be on the same side as you mm-hmm. and say, I don't want that. I want a more evened out.
I just think there's a larger scale between mm-hmm. 96. 96 is the highest, right? 96 in mm-hmm. Kevin Durant and the worst bench player in the league. Like, I'm just serious. You know, I think there's a much wider range there. Mm-hmm. That's, in my mind, from 96 to the worst bench player in this game is probably like a 69. Like, that's not far enough.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
The thing I also look at...
You can't play 70s on your bench. You'll lose.
I know.
You can't win a championship with 70s on that bench.
You can't. You can't. And
game logic
mean,
does not allow.
I look at it and I think you got to sell games, and especially with the rookies like Fulton, Ball. Ball more than Fultz because he got injured in summer league and we didn't get to see a full sample right. from him. After seeing what Ball did in the summer league, I'd be like fucking fine with an 80. And because of Fultz and how much hype there is around him and that team, I'm fine with an 80 to start. Only because I'm hyped about these rookies. And
I mean, too.
Like, let's be honest. But if Lonzo was a 75
yep.
and Fultz was a 74, let's be honest.
You can't put the number two over the number one.
You would sit there. I did. You would sit there and you would be like, great. I got to play. I got to go through
yes.
basically a crap year with Lonzo just to get him to an 80.
Yeah.
Just to get him to an 80.
You gotta earn that. LeBron James didn't come in the league with an 85, with an 89, with a 90.
See, and
that ain't the game.
That's another thing. When you go, LeBron didn't do it, you're disrespect. I don't think the older players give a crap, though.
I think Dwight Howard's a little hurt.
The older players.
Swaggy P's is 74.
The older players don't give a crap. Like 74. LeBron and KD, they don't give a crap that Lonzo's an 80.
Are you telling me that like the majority of this first round is gonna be better than Swaggy P? I mean, probably.
Yeah, yeah. So, the majority of it will be
in their rookie year.
Swaggy P.
Yeah. In their rookie year, you're going to say that, all right, I will throw down money. Like,
especially Lonzo and Fultz, the
no,
two
no,
that
I'm
are 80.
I'm not saying one and two. I'm not saying Swaggy P is the best player. I wouldn't draft Swaggy P in this draft. But I understand, like, you pick out a player.
Obviously, there are going to be some busts.
An average bench player.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, all right, well, that guy's never
Swaggy P is also playing on the best team. So he doesn't have to do much. He just has to fit his role.
No, I understand. I'm just going with the, like, you take an average bench player, and then we go, all right, well, they're 75.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to tell me that the top 15 rookies are above you. Is that reasonable?
I mean, if the top three, like, look at most of the top 15 rookies. They're going to start.
Not all of them.
Not all. Like, Jason Tatum's one that comes to my mind.
J-Tay's not. De'Aaron Fox is not.
But, I mean, look at on any, like, if J-Tay and De'Aaron Fox weren't on their respective teams and were on a different team. Let's put it this way. If De'Aaron Fox was on the Mavericks instead of Dennis Smith, De'Aaron Fox would be starting.
No, I'm just saying.
If J-Tay was on the Suns.
It's a slight, because we're going to see a lot of these bus players. Do you think Dragon Bender? Do you think he is as high as he was last year?
No.
Exactly. Do you think Justice Winslow?
I mean, he's better than his rookie season, but he's not that great.
No, he wasn't.
No, he's not
he's
that
still,
great.
He's still bad, but it doesn't matter because his rookie season, he was a 77 coming out. So it's like, really? You think he's that much better than people?
I don't mind it because in the end...
I just get over the hype game.
In the end, the way I look at it is after a year, the entire landscape of your franchise changes anyways.
Well, that's because, if you have, like, the trades way
because
high.
Because you screw it over by trading, and then the computer doesn't know how to trade.
Well, that's why I
They'll
always
trade,
feel like
just
computer trades, like,
other.
Awful. Like, you just knock that all the way down so that it doesn't happen.
I still have it on the moderate just because I want it to seem like...
Spicy?
Yeah, I want to shift around because I don't want it to be... Like if I wanted to play what was going to
you
happen
play hard
in real
mode.
Life...
You go up against that Warriors team as is for
the
next 4 years.
If I wanted to play like it was in the NBA, I'd be an NBA player. I want to go out and I want to see the shakeups. I want
to
go into free
agent. I like
agent.
To get, like, the GM mode is my jam, man. Like, that's,
I know
I
you
like
do.
To control the game, and I think that's
Dave
a ton
don't
of
like
fun.
Playing the games. He just likes putting
the
team together.
I don't. I play 2K the other way.
And then he gets mad when the team doesn't win the finals.
I mean, they were stacked.
Yeah. When you don't win the finals. When you have LeBron James, you don't win the
2K,
finals.
2K, I'm looking at you for some balance changes here.
But this is where, let's turn the conversation on to you guys. Let us know down below. Do you care?
Is this just
Lonzo
a stupid topic?
And Fultz is it's not a stupid topic. It's
Am
not.
I overreacting
because
a little bit?
I will say that they're more condensed in rating.
They're so grouped together.
I just don't have a problem with it because
I
get that you got to sell games and you got to get people hyped for it. But I want to know what you guys think. What do you think of the ratings? Are people rated too high? Are the rookies rated too high? Should they be lower? Let us know down below in the comment section. Also, thank you guys for listening either to the individual segment, the full podcast on YouTube, or on Blog Talk Radio, giving us, Dave and I, a little piece of your time. Sean will hopefully be back next week.
Yeah, unless he got another concert to go to.
Hopefully he does not, because I'm telling you this. And Sean, if you're watching, I'm telling you right now, we're not putting those rankings on hold much longer. We are doing shooting guards next week, and we are completing these rankings.
Rankings.
We only put the rankings on hold for Sean this week. So next week, if Sean's not here, we're just going to continue without him.
Yep.
We'll just continue on through. But I want to thank you guys for either watching and listening. And as always, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.